In every generation and also in every institution, whether that institution is spiritual, whether it's secular, whether it is very serious in nature, or whether it is geared toward fun, folks, there are always going to be rivers that have to be crossed. There are always going to have to be mountains that are going to be climbed. There are always going to be various areas of wilderness where there's going to have to be maps prepared. There are going to have to be caves that are going to be explored, and there's always going to have to be new discoveries that are made. The question that we ask is this: who's going to do all of these things? And the answer very simply to that question is this: the one who does them is called a trailblazer. Look, a trailblazer is nothing more than a leader of other individuals. A trailblazer is an individual who sees challenges set before him or her, and he is willing to move forward. A trailblazer is an individual who sees problems and who sees difficulties, and he also sees himself as the one who has the responsibility of doing everything he can in order to solve those problems and difficulties that are in front of him. My friends, the title of our lesson this morning very simply is Needed Trailblazers. Now, the reason for the lesson is because our Vacation Bible School has this particular title, Trailblazers of the Faith. Now, I realize this is Father's Day, and fathers may say, "Boy, we sure are getting shortchanged this morning. Come back next Sunday." Now, I know for some of you that's a long trip, but I guarantee you we'll be talking to dads next week. But we're going to gear this lesson to our Vacation Bible School. Trailblazers needed desperately in our world today. We're going to be talking about three major points that revolve around this particular topic. The first one is this: trailblazers of the past. When you go back and you study biblical times, you'll always find that there were individuals who were trailblazers. Individuals who were the first. Individuals who were the ones that were willing to step forward when nobody else would. One of those was a man by the name of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, Abraham is referred to as the father, watch this, of all them that believe. Folks, when God looks down from heaven upon this man Abraham, He sees him as one of the first major Bible characters who really stepped out with faith. Now, he's not the absolute first, but he is going to become the father of all faithful to come. Did Abraham manifest a wonderful, marvelous faith? Was he challenged oftentimes more so than any other man up until this particular point in time? When you go back and you look at his life, you'll see some of the challenges. Notice, one of the first ones was he was called to leave his home and his family, wasn't he? He was called to go into a land that God said, "I will eventually tell you about, but right now, you just leave." Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That'd be a difficult decision, would it not? At the age of 75, he is way past the age of childbearing. He looks at his wife, and she too is way past the age of childbearing. And God comes to him and says, "What? You're going to have a son." Now, folks, it's going to be 25 years later before that happens. And yet he puts his trust in God for that son, doesn't he? How about this one, circumcision? Can you imagine God appearing to you and he's saying, "Look, I want to come into a covenant relationship with you, but the only way that's going to transpire is if you practice what is known as circumcision. You and all the male members of your family, including even your servants, have to be circumcised in order for you to be in a covenant relationship with me. And every male from this day forward has to practice this same covenant." Folks, that is a huge step of faith in a very heathen society. And then there's that last challenge of Abraham, the offering of Isaac upon Mount Moriah. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And immediately he departs, does he not? Folks, here's a man who is challenged over and over and over by God, not with little bitty things, huge things, massive things, things that he may not even understand. And yet, what does Abraham do every time he steps out in faith? A wonderful summary passage, Romans 4, verse 20. Notice what it says. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Folks, that's the kind of individuals that we need in society today, don't we? Trailblazers like Abraham. Individuals who, regardless of what God says, just listens to God and just steps to the plate and does exactly what needs to be done. But we find another trailblazer in Scripture. A man by the name of Josiah. This was a very young individual. He was only 8 years old when he took the throne over the nation of Judah. Early during his reign, they found the book of the law of God. It had been lost in the temple, set aside because of all the heathen practices and idolatry engaged in by Israel. That book, however, was recovered, and immediately that book was brought to Josiah and it was read in the king's hearing. And the Bible says that when Josiah heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and that he then sent the priest and others in order to inquire of God, because he knew we've sinned greatly before the Almighty God. In 2 Kings chapter 23, and I encourage you to go home this afternoon and just read that chapter. Read it brief, read it swiftly if you desire. Because one of the things that you'll be impressed with is this: the reformations that this king put in place in the nation of Israel. One thing after another. Do away with all the images and all the idolatrous worship. Tear down all of the high places. Reinstitute the law of God. Reinstitute the sacrifices. Reinstitute the priesthood of the Almighty God. Involved again in the Passover of God Himself. Folks, these were unbelievable reforms in Israel. And who did it? One king by the name of Josiah. Listen to what the text says in 2 Kings 23, 25. And like him was no king before him. Wow. You see, a trailblazer. There was not a king like him before him in Israel. Folks, notice what it says. That turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. If you go on and read the rest of that passage, the Bible says this: there was no king like him afterward as well. Here's a man who stood out head and shoulders above every other king in Israel, doing what is right, making the reforms, stepping forward to do the will of God. A trailblazer. Another one is a man by the name of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an individual who had grown up in the land of Persia because of being in captivity. After the Persian had conquered the Babylonians, there he was. He was the cupbearer for the king of that great nation. Some of his brethren made a trip to Persia and they found Nehemiah. And Nehemiah asked them about the walls of the city of Jerusalem. When Nehemiah heard about the news, folks, it literally broke his heart. The walls of Jerusalem were still torn down. The gates of that city had been burned and had never, ever been replaced. Nehemiah immediately goes before his God in prayer and begs for the forgiveness of the nation of Israel, admits that they'd been sinners before their God, and begins to devise a plan whereby he can go and rebuild those walls and reset those city gates. Here's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th month of Elul. Notice what it says. In 52 days. Less than 2 months. The mighty walls of the city of Jerusalem were completely built again. Guys, we're not talking about just a little brick fence. We're talking about walls that are 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet thick. Walls that rise up 50, 60 to 100 feet. Walls that have towers that are built at various places that rise up even higher than that. Massive gates to those cities. At least 2 in each wall. That means there were at least 8 gates that were set in the city of Jerusalem. And in less than 2 months, here is one man goes back and encourages a nation of individuals to rebuild the walls. A true trailblazer, folks. Oh, the examples are just unbelievable, aren't they? What about a man by the name of John the Baptist? Matthew 3 and verse 3. He was commanded, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight His paths. So he was the trailblazer for Jesus Christ. What about Jesus? Hebrews 2 and verse 10 refers to Him as the captain of our salvation. Go home tonight and study the word captain. It means leader. It means this, the predecessor. It means the one who as the very first at anything. Folks, our Lord is the very first one to come to this earth, live a perfect life here, die, be raised again, and exalted into the heavenly realm. And He is our trailblazer for our lives, is He not? What about a man by the name of the Apostle Paul? Folks, he was a trailblazer, was he not? He refers to himself in 1 Corinthians 3:10 as a master builder for the Almighty God. Here's a man who was given a commission. Go, take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he did exactly that, wasn't he? He went where no one had ever gone before, establishing churches in Gentile cities. Removing the idolatry, removing the immorality, removing the corruption, and putting in its place a congregation of holy ones called out unto the Almighty God. Now sometimes we forget that these individuals were true trailblazers. They were doing things that nobody else would do. They would go places that nobody else would go. They would do things that are just unbelievable, are they not? Now what kind of a person does that? What does it take to be a trailblazer today? There's at least 6 qualifications that I could talk about. One of them is this. A trailblazer is a risk taker, isn't he? Folks, the definition of risk is this. Exposure to a hazard. Exposure to injury. Exposure to loss. Exposure to any kind of danger whatsoever. When an individual is a trailblazer, he knows, I'm going to be exposed to something that could be bad and harmful to my life. And yet, he doesn't let that faze him. He doesn't let that deter him. He doesn't let that stop him at all. He just moves forward regardless. Question, was Moses a trailblazer? God comes to Moses and He tells him, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to command him to let my people go. That had never been done before. And yet that's exactly what he was charged to do. Did Moses know that there was going to be risk? Absolutely. You go to Exodus chapter 4 verse 1 and Moses makes this statement to God. They will not believe me. They will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Folks, that was one of his greatest fears, wasn't it? You want me to do this, and I'm going to go to my own people and tell them, look, God has called me to lead you out of the land of Israel. Ha! Yeah, right. You, the runaway. You've been only gone for 40 years. You, the murderer. God wants you to lead us. And in spite of the risk involved, folks, Moses still moved forward, didn't he? Notice also, if you're going to be a trailblazer, you're going to have to manifest courage. Courage controls fear. Courage overcomes fear. Courage moves forward when everything about us is evil and wicked, and when other individuals are trembling like crazy. Courage is defined as an individual who has heart before God. Folks, it's an individual who's going where nobody else has gone. That's scary, is it not? And who knows the risk? Who knows the dangers that are involved? And yet, he will not let fear keep him from doing what needs to be done. We find an example in David, don't we? Oh, David steps up to the battlefield, and what does he see? He sees one big, tall giant by the name of Goliath, who is intimidating the entire army and nation of Israel, isn't he? Folks, here the king is even, trembling and quaking and running from the presence of this Philistine. David says in 1 Samuel 17:32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Do you hear what he just said? Don't let your heart fail. Folks, that's what fear is, the failure of heart. Here David is a man of wonderful heart, unbelievable heart, unbelievable courage. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." There's courage. What did he have when he went to the battlefield? A sling and 5 rocks. There you go. Don't tell me he didn't have courage when he went out there. Folks, another quality of a trailblazer is that he is not deterred by others. Here's something that's interesting. Every trailblazer has his detractors, doesn't he? We made mention of Moses. Did he have any detractors? Even his own sister and brother became detractors at one point, didn't they? "Who are you, Moses? Who made you leader, Moses? Don't we have as much authority as you do?" That's just one example. What about Nehemiah? Did he have any detractors? Go home and read the entire book of Nehemiah. You got a lot of reading to do this afternoon. Don't come back if you hadn't read it. No, don't do that. Nobody will come back. Because Nehemiah had unbelievable detractions, did he not? Individuals who mocked him and laughed at him and ridiculed him. And yet he just kept moving forward for 52 days, did he not? What about Jesus? Any detractors? Any mockers and scoffers? Just almost the entirety of the Jewish leadership were against him. Many of God's prophets were individuals who were trailblazers, were they not? And one of them was a man by the name of Ezekiel. God comes to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3, 8 and 9, and he says this, "I will make thy face strong against their face, and I will make thy forehead strong against their forehead. As an adamant harder than flint, I will make thy forehead. Fear thou not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious people." Sometimes I preach and I get some looks. Guess what, folks? You just got to have a hard old head. It's what you got to have. Isn't that what he just said? "I'm going to make your face and I'm going to make your forehead hard." In other words, adamant as flint. What he means by that, flint was strong, but guess what? A diamond was even stronger. "I'm going to make your head so hard that there's absolutely nothing that is going to come against you and cause you to quit. Don't you fear, don't you be afraid. It doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter how they look at you, doesn't matter what they say about you. You move forward," Ezekiel, a trailblazer, folks. He is not deterred by any detractors. You see, there's always somebody in the midst who can find something wrong. Well, that ain't good. And guess what? They're more than willing to give you their complaint, aren't they? And their gripe and their criticism. And very seldom do they have another plan of action. They just want to gripe and complain. And guess what? A trailblazer has to be ready for that. Who cares? So what? We've got to move forward. And that is exactly what good trailblazers does. Notice the next one. A trailblazer is an individual who is willing to suffer hardship. Guys, the very moment you step out into unknown territory, guess what? There's going to be problems and difficulties. Have you ever driven down A1A? You look to the left as you're heading towards St. Augustine. You say, ooh, that sure is pretty over there because that's the ocean. You ever look to the right? There's all the undergrowth and all the brush. And sometimes I look at that and I say, you know, there was a time when individuals came from the ocean and that's the first thing they looked at. The growth, the underbrush, the forest, the density of the wilderness that was there. There were no roads. There was no A1A. And guess what? They say, we're going to do what? We're going to move forward. And not only do they move past the coast, folks, they go to what? The Appalachian Mountains and cross them. The Mississippi River and cross it. The Great Plains states and the deserts of the West. Somehow they were able to navigate the Grand Canyon and then over the mountains of the Rockies and finally make their way all the way to the Pacific Ocean. Now you and I gripe when we have to make a 3-day car ride that far, don't we? Ooh, I just get so tired. Try to do that in a wagon. Try to do that with no trails and roads. Try to do that with no gas. Try to do that with just physical brute strength, folks. Guess what it takes? It takes a trailblazer to do that. It takes individuals who are willing to invest and knowing the difficulties and the hardships, they're going to move forward regardless. A trailblazer. Were the apostles trailblazers? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending them on a mission, and that mission is to the lost sheep, watch this, of the house of Israel. Wow. I thought once you are saved, you're always saved. Well, if the children of Israel were already God's children, why does Jesus call them lost sheep? So he's sending them with a message to prepare them, to get them ready for what's going to be coming on Pentecost Day. But what did Jesus tell these men when they went out? Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Matthew 10, 16. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Matthew 10, verse 22. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be difficulties. People aren't going to like you. He's just getting them ready for what's going to come, folks. A trailblazer is one who's willing to die if he has to. Folks, one of the greatest risks that a trailblazer faces is the loss of his own life. When you go into Scripture, do you ever find anyone who lost their life because of their willingness to move forward for the cause of Christ? Every apostle that we know of died a violent, horrible death as a martyr because they were willing to be trailblazers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul on one occasion was told, don't go to Jerusalem. It's not going to be good when you get there. There's individuals there who are in opposition to you. Do you know what he said? But none of those things move me. Now listen to this. Neither count I my life dear. amazing? Oh no, there's no way Abraham saw the Messiah. Jesus said that he did. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Jesus said. See, he knew what it meant when God said, in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. There's a Messiah coming. There's a Christ coming. And Abraham knew that. How? By faith, folks. Nehemiah, what did he see? He didn't see a torn down Jerusalem anymore. Oh no, he saw a strong, fortified city of Jerusalem, now standing as the capital city of the Jewish nation. We look at another example. David saw the subjugation of the Philistines, did he not? All I got to do is beat this one giant, and guess what? All of the Philistines are now at our disposal. Unbelievable. What did Jesus see? The Bible says Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Oh yes, the cross was horrible. The cross was filled with agony. From the crucifixion, we get the word excruciating pain. That's what Jesus went through. But folks, he didn't just look at the cross. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he saw salvation. We've talked about this in our study of the book of Thessalonians. Folks, when Paul saw saints, guess what? He saw saints now, but he also saw them way down the line at the second coming of Jesus, standing before God, holy and unblameable and unreproachable in his sight. You see, Paul could look down the quarters of time and he could say, you know, everything I'm doing now, all the hardships, all the difficulties, all the deterrence, whatever it is, guess what? It's all going to be worth it when I see you standing in the judgment. You see, we've got to look beyond just the here and now. As a trailblazer, we look to the end and to the future. Let's talk about our title again. Needed some trailblazers, folks. And we need them badly. You know that? Just a few that we'll talk about. We need trailblazers of faith. Did you know that? The Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose help the Lord is. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. We need individuals who will take this book, who will read it, and who will do exactly what God desires to be done. Regardless of the detractors, regardless of any challenges, regardless of any hardships, we're going to do what God wants us to do. We need trailblazers of purity, don't we? Guys, we live in a horrible world today. A world filled with sensuality, a world filled with immorality. A world that is calling upon individuals to do violence, calling upon individuals to do murder, and who just laugh at it and scoff at it. And we need some individuals who will rise up and who will say, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm going to remain pure and holy and godly in the sight of the Almighty. And I will not participate in the immorality of this world. We need some individuals who are trailblazers when it comes to evangelism. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Churches, church leaders, members, they look around, they say, oh, we're not growing. You want to know why? We're not evangelizing. We're not talking to anybody. Somehow, some way, we've got to develop the courage to talk to anybody and everybody. Do you know that? Anybody and everybody. Somehow, learn how to converse with them about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do, guess what? We'll eventually come across good and honest hearts. And when we find those, they'll obey the gospel because God's promised that. Young people, listen to me. We need trailblazers of youth today. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now, therefore, thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When the evil days come not, nor the years draweth nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's coming a day when young people are going to get old and feeble. Life gets hard and life gets difficult.
And now while you're in your youth, while you have all of your strength, guess what? We need you now more desperately than ever to stand. Don't grow up and quit the church. I'm out of the house. I don't have to do what mom and daddy say anymore. No, you don't have to. But you need to. You need to make faith your personal faith. And guess what? When you leave the house, you need to go out into the world and say, look, I am a young person who lives for Jesus Christ. And you're faithful and you're dedicated and you're loyal to your God. Regardless of what your friends say and how they act. We need trailblazers of youth, folks. We need trailblazers in preaching today. You know that? Paul told Timothy, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. So many times we go to places and it's unbelievable to hear what you hear and experience what you experience in various congregations. Very little Bible is studied. Very little Bible is quoted. Very little Bible is read. Sometimes you wonder, what in the world are they there for? Folks, we need preachers who will stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need elders to be trailblazers when it comes to shepherding. I've said it a million times, I'll keep saying it. An elder's job is not in a conference room. An elder's job is among the members of the congregation. They're the shepherds. And guess what? The members are the sheep. And members drift, members roam, members are confronted with evils that are without, and guess what? Whose responsibility is it to recover them? Whose responsibility is it to protect them? It's the elders, folks. They're the shepherds. We need trailblazers when it comes to eldering. We need trailblazers for worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This morning I wrote a Facebook post, and that Facebook post was entitled Worship. A privilege and a need. That's an obligation. Do you know that? It's an obligation. God's commanded it. Folks, it's more than that. I don't know about you, but if I got a letter from a 5-star general, I don't think they have those anymore, let's say a 4-star general, and he said, Mr. Vick, I want you to be at such and such restaurant on such and such day at 7 o'clock because I want to eat with you. Nah. Nah. Let me tell you what, this old boy spruce up just a little bit. And I'd walk in there and guess what? When I saw that man, I would be glad to be in his presence, wouldn't you? I'd shake his hand and I'd be respectful to him. Folks, we're not talking about a 4-star general. We're talking about the governor of the universe. We're not talking about a man. We're talking about deity. Every Lord's Day, we have two opportunities to draw nigh unto God. We have opportunity to draw nigh unto His presence. And we need trailblazers. I will never forsake the assembly of the body of Christ. Why? Because I want to be where? In the presence of God. Trailblazers, folks. But not only do you just come, you're ready for worship. You desire worship. And you participate in worship. We need trailblazers in Bible study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And yet today we have more Bibles, more computers, more Bible tools at our disposal. And we've got more ignorance in the body of Christ than you could possibly imagine. We need some trailblazers who will study, don't we? We need some trailblazers in teaching as well. Every congregation that I've ever been in, guess what the hardest problem is? Or one of them, getting teachers for Bible classes. You know that? Members been Christians for 15, 20, 30 years. You go to them, hey, how about teaching a class? Nah, get somebody else. Nah. Wait a minute. We need some trailblazers. Sure, give me a class. I don't know how to do this. That's all right. We'll show you how to do it. We need some people to raise their hand and who want to be involved in the work of the body of Christ. Folks, teaching others. There is hardly no greater work, is there? To bring a soul to the Son of God. We need some trailblazers today. Folks, here's something that's sad. Over the course of time, trailblazers have a tendency to be forgotten. Did you know that? Who were the main individuals responsible for founding the Oceanside Church of Christ? Trailblazers, folks. And guess what? Their names are known only to a few. Know that? And the same happens with Bible trailblazers. We forget about them, don't we? Folks, one of the best things that you and I can do, especially trailblazers of the faith, trailblazers found in the Word of God, is to remind individuals and to hold those individuals up as examples for us to follow. And every one of us who are in this audience as God's children, folks, you and I need to make up our minds right now. I'm going to be a trailblazer. I'm not going to be a hindrance. I'm not going to be a detractor. I'm not going to be Mr. Criticizer. I'm going to be a trailblazer. I'm going to blaze a trail, and I'm going to do something for the cause of Christ. Because you see, God rewards trailblazers. If you don't believe it, you pick up your Bible and read Hebrews 11 this afternoon. The Hall of Fame of the Faithful, folks. And every one of those individuals were rewarded greatly for what they did for God. You're going to be a trailblazer? Maybe you need to repent for not having been one. Maybe you've never even got on the trail. You know that? Folks, did you know there's a right way and a wrong way? There's a narrow way and a broad way. And you need to get on the trail, don't you? That one that leads to eternal life. Jesus said, not everyone that saith me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The steps are simple: to do the will of God. Believe in the Christ, confess His precious name after having repented of sins, and be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Won't you do that? Won't you come as we stand and sing?